From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made in a sleeping bag. The man inside pulls the sleeping bag up to his waist and settles into an armchair. He rests his feet on a traveling case full of logs, sort of a makeshift ottoman, and the room he is in, or rather the hut he is lined with foam blocks for insulation. Everything is yellow, stained with nicotine. You can't mistake the smell. The floor is a carpet of dust, pencil shavings, and cigarette ash. The man in the sleeping bag compares sitting in this seemingly ramshackle place to being inside the womb or the cockpit of a hurricane. And yet in it, he's able to write some of the most popular books in the literary world. The man in the sleeping bag is author Roald Dahl. He's the man behind Matilda, James and the Giant Peach, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, among many other books. Dahl died in 1990, but stories about his writing hut live on. Dahl said in that space he could escape the world, overcome writer's block, and connect with his inner child. Common goals for all writers. A group of local writers and teachers have joined together to organize a writing retreat aimed at helping fellow writers achieve those goals and call forth their wilder, bolder, more natural, creative selves. It's a day-long retreat called Mother Wolf, and it's set for Mother's Day weekend in Naples. This hour, we're previewing that retreat, and we're having some fun talking about the writing process. My guests are all instructors at Mother Wolf. Christine Green is a freelance literary arts journalist, a teaching artist, a memoirist, a meditation leader, among many other things, currently writing a literary arts column for 585 magazine. Welcome back, Christine.
Thank you.
Nina Alvarez is a writer, editor, publisher, teaching artist, energy healer, and founder of Cosmographia Publishing and Dream Your Book Author Services. Welcome back.
Thank you.
These titles are all super long, but all well-deserved. Jen Years is a certified counseling hypnotist, psychic medium, Reiki master teacher, writer, and owner of Mojo Dojo. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Mary Monroe is a musician, concert promoter, writer, and energy healer. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Kathy Proietti is the director of Writers and Books Retreat Center, GEL, in Naples. Welcome.
Thank you.
I think this is the first time we've had you on the show.
I was on a couple years ago to discuss To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yes. Yes, you are right. I wanted to say we've had almost every staff member from Writers and Books in this studio. It's very well deserved. Listeners, we're talking about the writing process this hour, the craft of writing. If you'd like to call in and share your thoughts or questions, the number here is 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. If you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. You can email the program at connections@wxxi.org. And I'm also on Twitter at mmacmedia. So let's start just by talking about how Mother Wolf got started. Christine, I'll turn to you. Why did you first decide to organize this retreat?
Well, I think we'll all agree that really Nina is, what Jen pointed out, is our pivot point. We all know each other through Nina Alvarez. And we just have various connections through writing, spiritual healing, and just friendship. And one day, I think it was in January, right, Nina? You said, you know, we should do like a retreat. And then here we are. So, and Nina could probably talk more too about our origins a little bit if you like. Yeah. But that's where we just started going from there and reached out to writers and books and they said, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the important thing to note is that we're not just writers, but we're writers who are also healers, who are people who have a vision. And that's what brings us all together. And then when I said I wanted to do a retreat together, it's because these are the kind of classes and services I've been trying to push into Rochester for the last 5 years or so. You know, getting aligned with what you really want to say and your authentic voice.
Mm-hmm. And I know this retreat is for women only. We should stress mm-hmm. that.
Yes.
Why just for women?
And that's a good question. We've had that question come up. And I think in our society, women identified and gender nonconforming people are often either take on or put into the mother role. They take care of families, office places, extended families, and even mixed gender social groups. A lot of times it falls to women identified to be the caretaker. And right now, especially in this climate, I think women are tired, they're nervous, they're filled with a lot of stress. And so this can be a safe place to be together, to explore the creative arts and to talk about issues around those arts and our personal development too, without feeling that we have to censor ourselves in that way. So I think this is really important in women's workshops and women-identified retreats. You know, they happen worldwide, so it's not, we're not necessarily unique in that, but we really wanted a safe place where we would want to be. So
mm-hmm. Everyone around the table is nodding. Did anyone else want to jump in?
Sure. I had the honor to preview three of the workshops for the Mother Wolf Retreat, and I have to tell you, it's not just about writing. These workshops are just so actually really healing and help you tap into your subconscious. So I had some really amazing experiences that really opened me up. And this is for anybody who needs to open up, to relax. The Gel Center in general is just such a beautiful place. I went up there to put some posters up. Never been there before. Stepped out. And the energy there was just so uplifting. It was like a little piece of heaven. I mean, not only is it a gorgeous view, but just the energy there on its own. And the collective energy of all these women here is just amazing. And I really could cry because these people are really helping raise the energy of the world, really. And that's what we all need to be doing right now. And so I encourage everybody to come, not just writers. And this is going to be great.
Oh, our engineer John is holding up a box of tissues.
So Mary, thank you.
If you want to cry, we have tissues for you.
If Mary's at an event, you might need a box of tissues. We love you, Mary.
I think I want to add, too, is the reason that we came up with Mother Wolf as the name is not only we talked about females being put into the caretaking role, but mother itself, our creative efforts become our babies. I mean, we really put forth to nurture it and put it out into the world. And then when we have children, just like our creative efforts, we're looking at, okay, how's this going to be looked at by everybody else? And we want to give it the best push and the best that we can. So bringing our true self and helping others do that really lends itself to the name Mother, which is Mother Wolf.
But you don't have to be a mother to attend this retreat, correct?
No, okay. Certainly not.
How many spots are open?
We still have a couple left. You know, we're getting there. We definitely, if people want to come, we encourage them to register through Writers and Books.
So how can you register? What's the website?
www.wab.org. And to contact our front office, and the phone number is 473-2590, extension 107.
Do it one more time.
473-2590, extension 107.
Perfect. So May 13th from 11 to 6:30 at the Gel Center in Naples. I understand there is a shuttle. So
yeah.
Great.
So, of course, you could drive there on your own if you wanted, if you want your own transportation or carpool with your friends. But the shuttle is there for you. You meet at 10 a.m. at Writers and Books. You can leave your car and take you to and from. And we have a lot of good stuff going on that day.
Yeah, so. We'll break down all the workshops. Just one more question about logistics. How much is the retreat for people who may be interested?
It's $200 for Writers and Books members and $230 for non-members.
Perfect. And again, you can find more information at wab.org. So if you check out the Mother Wolf website, you will find three different videos that sort of break down what these workshops entail. And as Mary said, it's not just about writing. It's connecting with your inner self. There's hypnosis. There's meditation. I watched them all this morning, and they're so interesting. And I found myself really wanting to do the exercises. I didn't have time because I was preparing for the show. But listeners, check out that website. But we'll start with the inner child meditation. So, Christine, you're teaching that.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how that came together.
Well, you know, as we were planning this, we were all kind of thinking, well, where do we fall into our planning? Who wants to do what, and how is this going to work out? And I think I said, well, you know, I can do an inner child meditation. This is a meditation I developed a few years back with my meditation group in Brockport. And I've had some really positive responses from my friends there. And it's a meditation I do myself quite a bit. And without getting, you know, obviously I'm not going to lead the meditation right now, but what it will entail will be finding the little child within us all, because, I mean, we've all been children and we all still carry the joys and wounds of our child with us. And so this meditation will help access that. And it will also help us access a sense of joy and playfulness, because even if you didn't have a wonderful childhood, even if there was trauma, so many people can still find this little piece of heaven, this piece of joy. I mean, this favorite toy, this favorite memory, favorite activity, a favorite friend. And when you sit in that joy, your creative writing, any sort of creativity can just flow because it's play again and it's fun. And so that's what we'll do. We'll do a lot. We'll do this meditation. We'll do writing and writing prompts around that. And I think it'll be both moving and a lot of fun. I did a practice run with it last weekend, and Mary was there and Jen was there, and I think it went well. So I'm really looking forward to doing this at the Jell Center. So
when you talk about developing a sense of play, I immediately think about improv. I teach improv. I do improv.
Oh, wow.
And it's all about just opening up your mind, living in the moment. Don't think, don't judge yourself or others. And I think that's so valuable when you're writing, because maybe this is just me, but whenever I'm writing something, I'm always thinking, oh, I got to edit this immediately. But with improv, or with what you're talking about, Christine, just let it all flow, let it all happen, go back and edit later. But it's so important to live in that moment and try to get your ideas on paper. Nina, you're nodding.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of Italo Calvino, who wasn't the writer he is or was until he decided to write for the seven-year-old that was, you know, in him. Or Roald Dahl, who was had to go into a sleeping bag. Or Tori Amos, who wrote Precious Things, her first really brilliant album after Why Can't Tori Read? But the point is, her record company was giving her a lot of trouble, and she felt really blocked. So she made a little fairy ring in her living room, and she put envelopes in the middle and named each one the title of a song. And so she went into a very magical, childlike place. So it's not, you know, I think it's profound, you know, what can happen.
Yes, and you know, we think of, there's this quote, and I don't know who it can be attributed to, but people say it all the time, and maybe someone will remember. But it's, play is the work of childhood. Mm. And I actually disagree with that. I think play is our natural state of being. And I think kids don't play in order to learn how to be adults. They play to be full embodied humans. And we're not done being humans when we're adults, right? And so... And play isn't something that should be separate from our life. It's not like, let's go to work and then we play. If we bring a sense of play to all that we do, we're going to have a lot more fun. And I'm not going to say it's always easy, but there are techniques, skills, and ways that we can help access that. So hopefully that's something we'll do at the retreat.
Not to get too granular, but when you say, what does developing a sense of play mean to you?
That's a good question. And I think what it means to me is to access the joy, and I keep using the word joy, and not to just dwell on that, but I think it's a very important word, is that if we access the joy that we have when we play, then everything will just, it's like turning up the volume, turning up the light on those ideas, on work will be just a little more exciting. Doing the dishes will just be a little less stressful. So if we can always remember and try and have that playful sense, that joyful sense, that just fun. I mean, it sounds so simplistic. And bring that with us into daily activity. And even the hard stuff. You know, there's, when you're being an activist, when you're fighting for something you really love, you've got to still be able to find a sense of purpose and joy in that, and that's really important. So I hope that answered your question.
It does. I think it can mean different things to everyone,
sure.
But that's a great, finding the joy. And so we go from finding the joy mm-hmm. to accessing the longing, which mm-hmm. is part of Nina's workshop, which is next in at the retreat. It's called Bringing Your Whole Self to the Page. Nina, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so I've been working with authors for many years, and usually over the course of a very intimate, you know, like multiple year span with each person. And what I found is that process of getting a book ready for submission to agents, or getting a book ready for entry into the world, is often about becoming more and more deeply aligned with why you're really writing in the first place. And so what I like to do is coach people through a series of questions into, what does it mean to write the book that you really feel called to write? Because we know when we're writing a book and we're holding back, you know. And a lot of times women, especially because we're taught to value social relationships above all else, will leave out important details of things that happened in a memoir because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Their truth is always pushed to the back of what they think people will think about them, not always, but often. So my interest is, when I'm working with authors and when I'm working with students, is to say, what is it that you're afraid to say but need to say? And so this workshop is about, through a series of guided questions, we get to the point, like, why are you writing this? Why do you care? What do you want readers to take away? And then using that to frame a statement that just sums up the spine of the book. So it's also very useful. Once you have that spine written, you can use it to pitch the book later on. But so we also do, you know, the spiritual aspect is we create a sacred space. We're going to talk about listening into, like, the silence and letting things come through us that our monkey mind, you know, keeps us from hearing. And so I find that this is, if you can get into this space where, you know, we're all already going to be relaxed and open from play, so then what we're going to do is start to get aligned with our heart and our heart's longing and let the information, the genius that wants to come through us, come through us.
You mentioned something in your video that I found compelling. You said the quality of our quality of writing declines sometimes because it gets safe.
Yes.
Why does it get safe? Is it because we're holding back? We're afraid to.
I think so. I think the stakes get higher once you're an adult and you have a community and a reputation and maybe kids, you know, family. And I just see this all the time. Memoirs come across my desk that I know that there's an underlying of, like, deep, painful emotions that are being held back there. And my frustration is, why are you writing this if you're not going to tell the whole story? So, yes, I think that there's, people are afraid to show their full self because of normal vulnerability, but also because we become sort of, you know, circumspect about and a little politic, you know, in especially in our community relationships. So, yeah, I think that you can be a sort of more closer to your genius as a 23-year-old writer than maybe as a 33 or 43 year old writer. And but so my interest is in getting back to that place, that wilder version of yourself.
Do you think sometimes people may be compelled to visit that safe space because they're trying to please publishers or what they think the market needs?
Yes, I absolutely do, but my experience is that it's more about the people that know you and what they're going to think. What is, you know, my husband, my mom, my cousins, my friends, what are they going to think when they read this? Because, I mean, really, what the irony is that publishers want the more interesting, you know, salacious, juicy, true stories.
Our phones are starting to ring, so let's hear from our listeners. First up is Bill in Brighton. Hi, Bill.
Thank you very much, Megan. I would like to say that it's very interesting that 150 years ago, Wordsworth gave his definition of poetry it could extend to writing as the spontaneous overflow of powerful emotion recollected in tranquility. And I think the secret is today is to find that tranquility in our busy world. And I'm excited about the fact that in these writers' retreats, you're really doing two things, as you indicated. You are hopefully becoming more creative, but you're also finding that tranquility that we desperately need in our lives to really be creative. And one of the things of meditation, as it applies to creativity, several psychologists have said what meditation does is block out so many extraneous things that are going on in your life so you can focus on the things that are really valuable and true. And that's true in writing, I think, as in addition to being true in our own personal life. I just throw that out for your panel.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
That was great. Yes. Thank you, Bill. Yes.
Beautifully said.
Absolutely. And I think he hit on something so important, which is the fact that we're going to be at GEL, which is this beautiful pastoral place in nature, and together. And so, you know, your job, your kids, anything like that, they're gone, you know. And I think that's one of the things that you can try to carve out time at home to be a writer. But if your to-do list is on the fridge and you think, well, I should be doing X, Y, and Z, it's very, very hard to not let those ideas, you know, fill up your mind and feel stressed about it. So getting away from home and being around like-minded people who are doing the same thing and committing to their writing for the day is a huge part of the peacefulness. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listeners, we're talking about the upcoming Mother Wolf Writers Retreat. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. So I know there will be some music throughout the entire afternoon, or the entire day, really. And
yes.
Mary, you will be leading that. Tell us about the value of that portion of the retreat.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I'm doing the creative flow segment of the workshop, and or the retreat, that's what my workshop is. And so after they've had the first two segments of it, they're going to come to me, and they don't have to sit down, but they can wander around the property. I'll have, you know, my amplifier, so it'll be loud enough for people to hear when they're walking around. But it's really a time for people to take in what they've learned and the feelings that have come up from the first two workshops and have a chance to, you know, write down their feelings. But I'm also a Reiki practitioner, and so I use healing energy through my music. I focus in that energy while I'm playing. So I'm going to be playing the folk harp, and I'm going to be playing instrumental music, all of which I have written. I did write the theme song to Mother Wolf.
That's
also
what we're listening to right now.
Oh, great. Yes. Great. And sorry, I don't have headphones on right now.
For sure, one pair of headphones. So.
But anyways, so it's a chance for people to really, you know, I'm going to help people. I lead them into some deep breathing and to really let go of their thoughts, the conscious thoughts, and to allow the subconscious to come forth. So just to let the music, you know, bring those feelings in and into words. And so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. Mary did a preview free concert at Writers and Books last month, and the room was full of people just writing while she was playing the harp. It was very opening for creative flow.
So during these free write sessions, are writers working together? Are they working individually? I know they're listening to music. They're absorbing nature. They can go outside at the Gel Center. But what's the goal? Is it meant to be an individual session, or are you encouraging people to work together?
I mean, I my sense was that it's an individual kind of day.
Yeah.
We're together, but definitely in our own journeys.
Sure. And if you know, people are there and they've made a connection with someone and they feel like this is a good time to kind of, you know, we're not going to put limits on people, but
no.
But we envision it as a time where you're just taking your quiet time to maybe have a little walk or write or meditate some more or have a little snack or close your eyes for a minute and listen to the music and absorb and get ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the layout of this program is it's very well thought out.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So next during the day is the self-hypnosis workshop for writers, and Jen is leading that. Jen, tell us about the purpose behind that. I know overcoming writer's block is a huge, huge piece of your workshop.
Yes, actually, I'm excited about where my part of the workshop is placed in this retreat, because I think hypnosis is one of those things, or I know hypnosis is one of those things that helps break down those barriers. So you have that left and right part of the brain, that logical and that creative side. It's getting them to link together and allowing those blocks to break down. So I'm at the perfect spot where they've opened up for Christine and kind of let their inner child out to be creative. Nina gives them great guidance, and now you have this part of you. Bring forth and find what your writing voice is. Where hypnosis comes in is I take them a little bit deeper. Literally deeper and deeper is what I say when I'm giving hypnosis. But it takes a person to a point where they need to look at those things in their life that sabotage or support what their goals are. So Nina helps them, okay, what's your real goal here? What do you really want to achieve? And I take it to, how's that really make you feel? Are you supporting it or are you sabotaging it? And then give them the techniques through some guided hypnosis as well as self-hypnosis techniques that they can use later when they go to write.
Yeah, it's really powerful. Jen just started a series of hypnosis on me because I myself struggle with writer's block, which is why this is what I'm interested in teaching and learning. And it really, you go into such a deep state that her suggestions start to rewire those parts of your belief systems that are keeping you stuck mentally and saying, you know, whatever that is for each person.
Right. Jen, how did you first start doing hypnosis?
Well, I've always been that calm one for all the different types of jobs I've had, one of them being an EMT. I was always the one that they said, okay, you go talk to the family that's screaming and freaking out right now. Mm-hmm. I would be the calm voice, the relax, breathe type of person. Myself, I've done a lot of meditation to help me find what I needed. And that quiet space and those things that I've sabotaged for myself, I went to hypnosis and found great success in getting over those humps. And I said, boy, I really want to share this with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Following Jen's workshop is Manifest Your Writing Project. So we're opening ourselves up, we're accessing our feelings, we're listening to some wonderful music. We have the hypnosis piece, and now we're trying to bring everything home. This piece is about envisioning yourself finishing the project, so getting to a tangible product. Tracy, who is leading this workshop, Christine?
Tracy Critel, who is also a instructor with Writers in Books, and she does a million things. She's, I'm trying to remember, she works with English language learners.
She's an ESL teacher.
Yes, in the city, and that's where she is today. She wished she could be here, and she is magical, almost quite literally, and she'll be leading a hands-on tangible craft where we'll be putting together a really special memento. I don't want to get so deep into it that we don't experience the magic of it when you're there, but essentially we'll be putting together little amulet bags with different ingredients, quite literally, from herbs to stones and all kinds of little things that symbolize your journey, what you've learned that day, what you want to manifest down the road. And she'll do work with us so that this can become a living symbol of what you want to. Mm-hmm. You can take that with you. You can have it on your writing desk or stick it in your pocket or tuck it in a drawer, just knowing it's there. But this will bring it all home, like you said, bring it all together. And it's going to be really nice. I don't know if anyone else wants to speak to that, but
she'll also be offering a mantra. So, you know,
Oh, that's right.
I think that's very, they're both so important. So you have the tangible thing that you'll keep and symbolize your writing manifestation, but also the mantra you can use in meditation. And I like how this really beautifully piggybacks off of Jen, who's going to be going into those deep places and creating new, you know, affirmations. So that mantra could be an extension of that affirmation.
Mm-hmm. We have a comment that just came through email from Josh. He says, I recently read an article about jobs with low stress and anxiety. Writer was on the list.
That's so cute.
And he says, do they not realize the terror of a blank page? So,
well, Josh.
Yeah. Good feedback there, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, it really is a terrifying thing. You're staring there looking at a blank Word document, blank piece of paper. And we can talk more about how to overcome writer's block in our second hour. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, more about the process. I want to talk about deadlines, pressure to meet deadlines, what's going on in the publishing world, and how to tie all of these things together. So short break, more Connections next. I'm Megan Mack. Monday on The Next Connections, a conversation about science and religion. How can they coexist in a politically charged environment? We'll talk to Reverend Eric Thompson of St. Peter's Episcopal Church in Dansville and Dan Courtney, who has been involved with a number of atheist groups. Then in our second hour, how can we monitor how our kids use digital devices? A new book is teaching parents how to help their kids unplug. We'll talk to the author on Monday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson today. We are spending the hour talking about an upcoming retreat for women writers called Mother Wolf, and it's being held at the Gel Center in Naples. And Kathy Potetti is here from Writers and Books. Kathy, for those who may not be familiar with the Gel Center, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, I'd be happy to, Megan. First of all, thank you so much for having us today, and it's just exciting listening to these women and what they're offering, which gets me more excited about talking about Gel and what we have there. The type of program these women are offering there is what Gel is all about. The history of Gel is it was a property that we today call Gel, a Finger Lakes creative retreat, was developed by Dr. and Mrs. Kenneth Gel beginning in 1929 to be their private home.
And it's G-L-L, listeners. G-E-L-L, sorry, two L's, Gel.
Right. And it has breathtaking views, wildflowers, and animal life were the perfect contrast to their life in the city of Rochester. The Gels, after many years living there, discussed ways in which their dream home could be used to benefit others. Their ultimate goal was for their property to be used for creative purposes. So when we hear this type of program that will be offered next weekend, it totally fits with his vision. And lastly, I'd just like to add that today, Writers and Books carries on that spirit of lifelong learning and a respect for nature at Gel, a Finger Lakes creative retreat, now consisting of the original Gel House, the Thoreau Cabin, a cabin they built in the woods to the exact dimensions of Thoreau's cabin at Walden Pond, and the Gleason Lodge, which is where their program will be taking place.
You just brought back memories of ninth grade reading Walden. That was a struggle in ninth grade. But so a beautiful, beautiful place for this retreat. And again, listeners, it's May 13th, and you can sign up at wab.org and learn more about the retreat there. And I'd like to spend some time talking about deadlines and schedules, and maybe for those of us, myself included, who are not super disciplined when it comes to finishing projects. There's a clip I'd like to listen to, and this is from Tim Urban, who did a TED Talk about procrastination. And I'm not sure if any of you have heard this in the studio, but it's a dynamic presentation. It's very fun and quirky. And in it, he's talking about getting inside the mind of the master procrastinator. So he says there's the self-gratification monkey, the side of your brain that gets really distracted from what you're supposed to be doing, and then the rational decision maker, who's, we have a deadline, we have to meet it, we've got to get this work done. And there is one thing, only one thing, that the self-gratification monkey is afraid of, and that's what he calls the panic monster. So in this clip, you're going to hear what the rational decision maker is telling Tim, who realizes that he's got to start working on his TEDx presentation.
Are we clear on what we just accepted? Do we get what's going to be now happening one day in the future? We need to sit down and work on this right now. And the monkey said, totally agree, but also let's just open Google Earth and let's zoom into the bottom of India, like 200 feet above the ground, and we're gonna scroll up for 2.5 hours till we get to the top of the country so we can get a better feel for India. So that's what we did that day. As 6 months turned into 4, and then 2, and then 1, the people of TED decided to release the speakers. And I opened up the website, and there was my face staring right back at me, and guess who woke up? So the panic monster starts losing his mind, and a few seconds later, the whole system's in mayhem. And the monkey, who, remember, he's terrified of the panic monster, boom, he's up the tree. And finally, finally, the rational decision maker can take the wheel and I can start working on the talk.
So that's Tim Urban in a TEDx talk. And it's quirky and fun, but he makes a good point. The panic monster helps the self-gratification monkey stick to deadlines. But what if you don't have a deadline? It's so easy to put things off, to not get to your writing because you're distracted by your to-do list, you have family things, you have other things going on at work. So I'd like to ask all of our guests today, how do you inspire someone? Do you commit to a daily writing schedule? Do you carve out time at a specific, you know, maybe 6:30 in the morning, you're taking a half an hour. What's your process and what do you recommend? Nina, I'll start with you.
Okay. So for my personal writing, I'm a night person and I do my best work in the evenings. But, you know, I am a perfect case of someone who always prioritizes other things over my own writing, even though it's what I want to do the most, which is, again, part of why I am meant to teach this, because I need to learn it myself. But I will say that for me, what has worked is having an accountability group. So once a week, we would send a chapter to each other on a book we were working on. So that, for me, helped me feel like I had some people that were going to be asking me where my chapter was, and then, you know, I would get down. And for me, that meant I would be up, I'm not even kidding, between midnight and 5 in the morning working on my chapters. That's my writing time. Mm-hmm.
Christine?
This is an interesting question because I think we...
Nice and close to your mic there.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. So there are a lot of tips and tricks, right? And I've talked about this in workshops. We can set a writing time, and you hear famous writers, like, the only difference between a good writer and a bad writer is a good writer writes every single day and has a regimen. Okay, I'm glad that works for you. but for me, what works for me is when I'm bringing it back, but this is the whole reason I'm teaching this particular workshop, is when I find joy in what I'm writing. And it's not the same as inspiration. You don't have to wait till you have an idea, you know? If you're feeling excited just about the activity of writing, it's going to flow. You're going to get into that creative flow and you're going to enjoy it. And a problem I have, like Nina said, she has, and I still have it. I'm still learning it. We teach what we want to learn. And I think that's a good thing, is sometimes I still trick myself into thinking that when I'm writing, doing creative writing, I really should be working on my column, or I really should be hitting the grocery store, or maybe that dog really needs a walk. And so we're constantly, in fact, our group was just talking about this, we're constantly, no matter what we do in our lives, and I say we as in most people, think that there's something else we need to do, whether it's the kids, whether it's the workout, whether it's the planner, you know, summer camping. And so when I can put my mind in a space where it's just my writing mind and it's a joyful place, then I can just sit down and write. And even if what I write is not going to be in the next great American novel, it's useful to me as in self-development. So maybe that sounds a little flighty, but that's where I go for it. If I plan I'm going to write every day at 6 a.m. for 2 hours, I will most likely fail at that, and then I'll beat myself up. So I don't need to do that to myself anymore.
Yeah, I for me, the work, exactly. It has to be, I have to be in a space of what I would call unconditional love. It's just joy, a different word for joy, where when I wrote my first play, that's what I was doing. I basically experienced unconditional love from a four-year-old, my friend's kid. This is a true story. And I was able to imbibe that feeling for a good couple months every time I sat down to write. And I wrote my first play that was produced. I wrote a couple stories that were published. But it was because I wasn't doubting myself every moment of the way. Now, you know, as an editor, I'm like, there's revision and then there's like places for the adult mind to come in, but you have to go into a place where there isn't a lot of criticism going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'd like to say my suggestion is something that I use where I've created a beautiful space that calls me into it because I have two children. I have four animals, which are more children, so really like six children, and a wonderful husband. And, you know, so I've got laundry, house cleaning, plus I'm working on a production called United with Music, which is really exciting. It's going on June 25th in Rochester, New York. Please look it up at unitedwithmusic.com because it's bringing together Rochester's finest musicians who are actually from around the world, like from Africa, South America, our own Dady Brothers right here, for a wonderful cause to raise money for refugees, helping refugees. But that's been taking up a lot of my time, and I am a writer. You know, I write music, and I also have a lot of performances. I'm doing this wonderful retreat, Mother's Wolf, so I have to find time for that, too. So I've got my laundry basket or my laptop typing, you know. So I walk by this beautiful space and I have my harp case open, you know, my harp is right there and it just calls to me. So I'm like, okay, I have 2 seconds. I can do this. I can sit down and work on this song. So that's definitely a great way to draw you in, even if you didn't plan it out in your day. But the other thing, and I've told my students this before, is just say you're going to take 5 minutes out to practice your music or in this case, write. And so you go to work on it for 5 minutes, and that's not too overwhelming, 5 minutes, but you always work on it for more than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's another great technique.
Mm-hmm. And me, I'm a little bit different. Of course, I am for just about everything, but everything for me has to be an appointment. It just has to be. So I might not be joyful. I might not be in the moment or have some inspiration. I have to find that space on my calendar that's not already taken by one of my two jobs. I'm getting a master's degree. I'm a mom. So, you know, people ask me if I'm torturing my family because I'm not always available. And I said, no, actually, I'm building quite a lot here. But I have to make an appointment. So I make that appointment. I look at it on my calendar and say, this is it. And I sit there. And then I get in that space. All of a sudden, when it is quiet and you've made time for it, that joy does come.
Yeah.
That inspiration does come and it starts to flow. So it's quiet, peaceful, and I made that time for myself. So it's a reward.
If your goal is to get published, are you thinking differently during the creative process? Is that added pressure changing your writing in any way?
Well, I mean, obviously, right? I mean, it has to be. Yeah, it has to.
Yes.
And that can be a good thing. You know, can light a fire. And it can be also a bad thing, depending on what your sense of publication means and who you're trying to get published with. But, you know, I think personally, having, you know, being a published writer and working with published writers all the time, that you have no idea what a publisher wants, really. You just don't know. So what you do is you end up going back to what your writing teachers taught you, what your fourth grade essay structure was. And that's absolutely no good. Some of the best manuscripts that came across my desk were written by people without college degrees because they were telling stories in a really raw and beautiful way. Without a lot of rules, but storytelling itself is sort of a natural process for many people, and then we unlearn it and then have to relearn it. So just a long way of saying I obviously there is a difference, but I would say to write the story for yourself, or for, as Stephen King would suggest, an ideal reader, one person that you're writing that for, that supports you and loves you but is also honest with you.
Mm-hmm. And I know you've talked about finding the sweet spot, too,
yeah,
between how to make yourself happy and write for yourself and also write to get published or meet a publisher's needs.
Yeah.
And so often, and maybe I'm being a little critical here, but we see people churning out books on subjects like how to be a good leader. I mean, are they? I'm sure many are passionate about writing about that, but the marketplace is so full of books like that and a lot of other, you know, similar situations.
Yeah.
So say you are really passionate. How do you find that sweet spot so you know that you're meeting the needs of someone who is trying to make some money, but also fulfilling your own needs?
Okay, so, well, that's a great question. I think what you want to do then is first think about the publisher that you're trying to get in with and the readership. And I would say look at the books that they're churning out. So if you want to write a book on leadership, it can be something like Ram Dass would write on leadership, or it could be something that Tony Robbins would write on leadership, or a corporate, you know. So that's the kind of thing, is understanding what the array of options of voices available. Because again, otherwise you're going to go with whatever's just been thrown at you, and you're going to think, I have to conform to this certain, I can't add, you know, poetry in the margins, or so that's what I would say, is I always say, realize the breadth of options there are for structure, for approach, and then we're going to go into, you know, that's why you have to go back into, why do I want to write this? What was the first moment that this idea grabbed me? And usually that's a moment of like pure brilliance and genius, and you see things connect, and then we start to go back into the writing, and we lose that sort of vision, you know. So for me, that's about always you're checking back in and saying, as I'm writing this, is this what I really mean? What am I holding back? And how do I communicate this to people in such a way that I'm feeling being true to myself? Because it's so common to start to sound like your essay, you know, your English teacher or your mom or your dad or, you know, your college professor. And so anyway, I really think that we're in a time where, because of the glut of books out there, you have to stand out, and you stand out by being by knowing what you're talking about and being confident in it. And I always say that confidence comes from alignment. So get aligned with why you're really doing this. You know, get aligned. And this is the last thing that is, they don't teach you in school, but we're wired for story. We're wired as readers to look for story, and story is an internal change in a character based on external events. That's all it is. A story can be two sentences, you know, but we're not necessarily wired to tell story. When most writers think in terms of plot and character, but they're not thinking of how that plot affects the character and how the character changes internally. So if you're writing nonfiction about leadership, it's going to be based, it all has to be based in story. You're showing how people are changed by external events and how, you know. So anyway, the point is, thinking about your readership in terms of what story are you going to tell them? What are those internal changes that these people are going through? And that will help you write a book that's much more saleable.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any thoughts on that? You're all published.
Nina really, I mean, she knows her stuff. So listen to Nina. I know personally, it is. So my creative writing, while when I have written it, I hope to get it published, but I don't sit down and think I need to write a piece of creative writing for publishing yet. I mean, maybe I won't get there. There's other projects and stuff, but right now I'm just talking about my kind of memoir pieces and stuff. Those come from the story I need to tell, yeah. And then later I'll go back. And Nina and I have worked on some of our stuff, so. I imagine with a full-length book or with particularly like you're mentioning the leadership books or books that you're writing from the moment to the end thinking I want to publish this, you're going to have a different and I'm working on a small project that is going to go that way, but I really have to get started on it.
Yeah. I think that process of going from a first draft to a publishable draft is really about, yeah, you tell the story to yourself and then you go through and you look at what the threads are of the point. What is the point of this? So like Christine's going to be reading a wonderful piece. She wrote it, Listen to Your Mother, on May 13th also, later that day.
I'm going to leave really quick.
And it's about your daughter.
Yeah.
And not to give too much away, but it's about your daughter and how intense she was at 13. It's intellectually intense and emotionally dealing with everything about the world. And it was Bosnia.
A lot.
She was very taking it all in. And comparing her to yourself at 13, you were a younger 13. And so once you got that story out, these things that were coming into your mind that just they felt connected, but you weren't sure. We look at how they actually are connected. Mm-hmm. And so that the story beneath the story is about what it means. Well, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but we had to ask what that really meant to you, that she was different than you in that way, but also like you in other ways.
You're absolutely right.
But once we know that, then you can go back through and make revisions based on that thing. So every sentence should be supporting that ultimate argument, right? That theme.
Yeah. And to kind of play off between Nina and Jen's techniques of writing. I said, you have to be in a place of joy and stuff for me. But when it comes to if deadline or if I'm working with an editor or anything, or I have I've got to spell check, I've got to fix, I mean, that I'll do with it. I do a deadline too, just like Jen. So, you got to find there's their sweet spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And most people will go through and take out the things that are more vulnerable or if there's a swear word or something like that. And I don't necessarily think you need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Don't edit.
Yeah.
I think there's so much about this workshop or this retreat that is about accessing sensory things and incorporating that into your writing. And it made me think of, I had the privilege of studying under Mary Gateskill when I was in college, and she is just, it was such a great opportunity for me. And her writing is so sensory, and she's not afraid to take risks, and it's incredible. But who has inspired you? So maybe a teacher or writer that you are all inspired by. Let's quick go around the table. We're down to our last couple of minutes, unfortunately. But Nina, I'll start with you.
A teacher or writer?
Yeah, who inspires you?
My favorite writer is Theodore Ritke. He was writing mid-century. he wrote about going out into nature, again, in these sensory ways, but in a very existentially lost way, looking for self through these long pathways into nature, or these kind of weird rhymes. He had these weird, funny rhymes about, you know, his wife. He was kind of weird, but also very, very existentially aware, and I really like that. I'd also like to say that my professor, Jill Hanifin at SUNY Albany, she was a fierce woman and writer, and she was the one who got me to switch from psychology to an English major, because of the beauty and the breadth that she brought to the study of modern poetry.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, who inspires you?
I, like so many writers, one of the discussions when I was here on the radio before was Harper Lee. I was just so moved by her book, which was one of the reasons I was brought here. I really enjoy that type of writing very much.
Mm-hmm. Christine.
Well, I first have to say every year I have a different favorite author, writer, but the one that has stuck with me for many, many years is Gloria Anzaldúa, who is a poet. She's all kinds of things. She wrote this beautiful book in the 80s called Borderlands, and she examines herself and her writing and her words and her community, and she really creates ritual around her writing and in her life, and also she discusses her art, her writing, as living beings, and that's how I look at my work. So I'd say Gloria Anzaldúa.
Down to our last minute, Mary and Jen.
Okay. Well, my favorite songwriter is Bob Marley, because every time I'm stressed out, sad, happy, whatever, I turn him on, and, you know, he just takes me to a higher place and helps me relax and really know that everything's going to be okay. And there's always a message right at the exact time I need it from one of his songs to help me through.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jen.
Stephen King.
Yay!
Illicit emotion.
Thank you all so much for joining me today. Christine Green, Nina Alvarez, Jen Years, Mary Monroe, and Kathy Petetti, all part of the Mother Wolf Writers Retreat, happening May 13th at the Gel Center in Naples. You can find more information at WAB.org. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
John Andrus is our engineer. I'm Megan Mack. Evan Dawson will be back with us on Monday. Have a great weekend, and thank you for listening to member-supported public radio.